Rabbi David Tugendhat, Parshas Bala Yischot, Tuesday the 5th of June. Edgeway Torah Way.
Good morning, Rabbi Isai. Mamash, a pleasure to be here back in Machzikya. That's Edgeway. Brings back beautiful memories from time when I lived not too far from here and I used to come in. And I was very much nene from the Rav, Shlita, and from the Kehila. The topic that I'd like to discuss today is a halachi topic. Amir al-Akum. The story goes of the person who went to his doctor shortly after Pesach, and his doctor spoke to him about his health, and he said, yes, it's true, I do smoke, I'm quite a heavy smoker. The doctor said, how can you do such thing? He says, don't worry, I've sold my lungs to the non-Jew, so it's okay. So there seems to be quite a lot of confusion in terms of Amir al-Akum, in terms of what things we can use someone who's not Jewish to help us for, and what things we can't do. Particularly, I'd like to focus on Hilchas Shabbos, when it is that we can ask them, when it is that we can't ask them. I have the tremendous zechus of giving a shir every night in Mishnah Brura, in the Dirshu World Program, and this is a tremendous thing that there is b'siyata d'shmaya in almost every kehila, that there are shiurim going in Mishnah Brura with an omud a day with all the contemporary poskim. I know you have one in Edgeway as well in the morning and the evening over here, and so really this shir is an outcome of the various different simonim in the Shulchan Aruch together with the contemporary poskim in terms of various issues in Amir al-Akum, what it is that we can and can't say to a non-Jew to do for us on Shabbos. One further disclaimer, we say Amir al-Akum, speaking to an Akum, asking an Akum to do something. An Akum literally stands for Oved Keichovim Mazolos, someone who worships stars or constellations. But a person can't think to themselves, look, the person next door to me, Chris, he doesn't do any voodoo or any magic or witchcraft. He doesn't worship stars or constellations. So I can ask him to do whatever I like, right? Wrong. We call it Amir al-Akum, an Oved Keichovim Mazolos, but that's really sort of Talmudic political correctness. And really, hu hadin, the same halacha will apply for any non-Jew, whatever they worship or don't worship, the same halacha applies. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos Daf Kuf Nun that Amir al-Nochri is a shvus. It's something which is awesome midrabonon to ask a non-Jew to do things for us on Shabbos. What's the reason? The Rambam, Rashi, various Rishonim discuss, is it because by asking a non-Jew to do something for us, then it becomes Shabbos is kalor be'einenu, it becomes its very light thing in our eyes. Whatever we want, we can just ask a non-Jew to do for us. That's one reason. Another reason given is because maybe the non-Jew is like our shliach, maybe he's like our messenger, our envoy, and therefore really it's as though we're doing it ourselves. Point number two. There are two isurim when it comes to Amir al-Akum. One of them is Amira, which is asking them to do something. Okay, so let's say I don't ask them to do something. So then, it's true there may not be an issue of Amira, but there's another prohibition which is Hano'o. I'm not allowed to benefit from an act which a non-Jew did for me. If they've done something for me, we'll see there are certain conditions when you can, but if they've done a Maisa, let's say it's completely dark, and they come in, they turn the lights on for me, and it's just for me, I'm the only one who's going to benefit from it, then I'm not even allowed to have Hanor from that. I'm not allowed to benefit from that that he did, even though I didn't ask him. So we're always going to have to look through these two issues, is there an Amira? Have I actually asked him to do something? Is there a Hano'o? Is there a direct benefit from that which he's doing? And the only time I'll be able to benefit will be if there was no Amira, I didn't actually ask him, we'll see, you'll be allowed to hint under certain circumstances. And if there's no Hano'o, there's no benefit. There are certain things that are not actually considered a bona fide benefit. So if I haven't actually asked and there's no actual benefit in halakhic terms, then that's going to be okay. So in point number three, we're going to discuss how I can ask him without actually asking, without actually saying something, and how I can have any benefit without actually having any halachic benefit. So these are the two issues that we're going to be spending time on. So 3a, I haven't violated Amir al-Akum if I don't ask them, but if I just hint to them, I do a remez. If I'm being maramas, then that's okay. Now again, I can't be maramas to them to put on the light for me, because even though I haven't violated Amira asking them, I still won't be able to benefit from that. So we'll see when it is that I can benefit. But right now we're just focusing on the Amira aspect. Everybody with me? Yeah, right now we're starting off by focusing on the hinting. If I do a remez, if I do a hint, then I haven't violated an Amira. Now what sort of hint are we talking about? So a classic hint would be, excuse me please, but I hope you don't mind me disturbing you, but I'm not able to sleep because the light's on in my bedroom. Now by saying that, I'm telling him I'm not able to sleep. I'm saying because there's a light on in my bedroom. This is called Shaloi Bederach Tzivoy. I'm not actually Mitzavah. I'm not actually asking him to do something. I'm saying I can't sleep because the light's on. We'll see soon that if I get them to turn my light off, that is not considered direct benefit. Turning things off, we'll see, is a lot more lenient than turning things on. Turning things on is going to be a direct benefit. But turning things off is going to be generally okay. So if I say, I'm sorry, but I'm unable to sleep because the light is on, oh, that's very good. What have I done? I haven't done a tzivoy here. I haven't commanded them or asked them directly to do something. So this is shaloi bederach tzivoy. If I'm asking them in any way, if I say, please, can you do me a favor? Uh-oh, I can't do that. That's a tzivoy. I'm asking them to do something, even though I haven't told them what to do. It has to be something like, I'm sorry, but I'm not able to sleep because my light is on. According to Rav Apoiskim, you shouldn't mention the malacha either. You shouldn't say, oh, wouldn't it be nice if somebody turned off the light for me? You know, it would be so wonderful if someone turned off the light. There, I haven't actually asked him to do something, but I mentioned the malacha. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal says you can mention the malacha. Most poskim say you shouldn't mention the malacha. So you can't say the actual malacha that you want them to do. So in our case, where you say, I'm unable to sleep because the light is on, I haven't actually told them, please turn the light off. And I haven't even mentioned turning the light off. I've said, I can't sleep because the light is on. So we try not to mention the malacha. No gesturing. So you can't say, ooh, wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody did something for me? And you're sort of putting your finger pointing at the light switch. That wouldn't be good, because really a gesture is the same as a tzivoy over here. You're not even allowed, not only you're not allowed to ask them to do something, you can't even gesture that this should be done. Or, you know, wouldn't it be nice if somebody would switch on the plight for me? Right, you can't do such a thing, that's not acceptable. What you can do in order to get around the Amira issue is a remez shaloi bederach tzivoy, a hint without actually being mitzave, without actually requesting anything. Okay, so then I've circumvented, again, I'm using the word circumventing, I don't mean get out of it and circumvent it, but I mean, how can you ask them, Tucker, to do something without actually asking them to do something? Okay, so we've spoken about the remez. Next, what sort of benefit would I be allowed? So Loniach, let's say, fine, I didn't ask them. There's a hint that's going on, a kosher hint over here. So what sort of things now can I actually benefit from? So, the Ran says in Masechta Shabbos, and many Poskim, Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal, and others bring, that when Chazal said, I cannot benefit from something that they do, I cannot benefit from a light they've switched on exclusively for me, it's only if it's direct benefit that is forbidden, direct positive benefit. But there are certain things which I could get them to do for me which are not considered direct positive benefit. Examples are, number one, negative benefit is allowed. So, negative benefit would be, I'm allowed to hint to them to turn the lights off. I'm just removing the light which is there. That's considered negative benefit. I'm removing something. So, to ask them to do something, to put something on for me, is going to be a problem. We'll see soon certain heterim. But to be maramis to turn something off is much easier. That's going to be okay. Lamoshal, if it's Shabbos afternoon and there's a non-Jew around and I don't want my hot plate on anymore. I don't need my hot plate on anymore. On a 3-day Yom Tov, for example, I don't need it on anymore. Am I allowed to be maramis if there's a non-Jew who's around? Am I allowed to be maramis to them to turn it off? Yes, that's going to be that is mutter, that is permitted to do, because I've been maramis to them, I haven't asked them. And because it's not considered a positive benefit, it's a negative benefit, that's also okay. There's a tshuva of Rav Eliyoshiv Shlita concerning also getting into hotel rooms on Shabbos. Nowadays, in Eretz Yisrael, most hotel rooms on Shabbos have an override facility where you don't need to use a magnetic card. But in other places in the world, generally speaking, they have a magnetic card that you have to use to get into the room, and there's no other way of getting into the room on Shabbos. So there are big discussions exactly how you can do this. What some people do is they actually leave the room open the whole of Shabbos. If you hang something heavy from the inside of the door, then the door really is open. You hang something from the handle, the door is really open, but it looks closed. If you're not worried about Geneva, or you have a very good insurance policy, then that might be okay for you. But for other people, that's going to be problematic. So Rav Eliyoshiv actually says that for them to use the electric card is actually considered negative benefit. It's just you're getting rid of the door. The door is in the way, you're just getting rid of the door. Lots of discussion about that. Many poskim are matir that. So negative benefit is allowed. Next case, additional benefit is allowed. So for example, if there is already one light on in the room, and you would like there to be another light on in the room, or you'd like the light to be turned up, so then the poskim say that is not forbidden. It's only if it's a new, direct, positive benefit. But here, there was already some benefit. It's just to increase the benefit, then that would be allowed. So again, you can't ask them directly because of Amira. But in terms of Hana, it would be okay. So you could hint, if there was already some light that was on, you'd be able to hint to them to turn on the other light or to make the light larger. And poskim extend this. Even if there's light on Lamoshal in the hall, so you could see Bakoshi with difficulty in this room. So, and you'd like the light on in this room. You could hint to them to turn the light on in this room, because anyway there was some light, there was the light that came from the hall. Many places can even extend this if there was some light on from the street that comes through the window, if the curtains are open, so you could see what's going on. It just wouldn't be so nice. So then you could actually be maramas to them, to be marabe, to increase the light, and that would be okay. Now, what happens if it's Friday afternoon, you've already... Okay, let's say there is already some light in the room. Let's say there's some natural light that comes in the room. So... once there's natural light that's coming in the room, we've just said I could be maramas to them to actually make the light greater, right? What happens when that natural light ceases, which was anyway there, and now all you have left is purely the light that they kindled for you? So the Taz is a minority opinion, and the Taz allows you to continue, but Rav HaPoskim say that if that's the case, once your original light is gone, then you wouldn't be able to benefit anymore from the light which they had actually increased on your behalf. Similarly, if there was light coming from the hall, and you were maramas to them to put the light on, you wouldn't be able to read by that light, because that's something that you wouldn't have been able to do without them. So therefore, even now they've put the light on, yeah, you can enjoy having a light room, but you wouldn't actually be able to read from the light. There's an interesting case, the next case, which is if the non-Jew does it for themselves, then that would be okay. There's a fascinating maisa with the stipler. The stipler, one night, he needed the light on in his room in Bnei Brak, and the light was off, and it was completely dark, and there was no light whatsoever, and he wanted to sit and learn. So what can you do? What can you do? So many others would just go and have a shluff, relax. But not the stipler. The stipler needed to get through what he needed to learn. So what did he do? He went to the non-Jew. There was a non-Jew around. You know, in the cities in Eretz Yisrael, I got a big shock. I remember when my first year in yeshiva, I was in a street in Beit Vegan, and I saw a car coming down the road with a light on the top. It said, Goy Shal Shabbos. Shabbos Goy. And Torah Kehillah is Eretz Yisrael. By the way, Goy is not a derogatory word. It just means nation. It can be used derogatory, but if I'm using the word Goy, please understand it's not a derogatory word at all. It just means a non-Jew. So it said, Goy Shal Shabbos. And in many of the Kehillahs in Eretz Yisrael, they actually have paid Shabbos Goy, a respectable job, only one day a week, but it's a respectable job. And there's a Shabbos Goy, and they know all the halachas inside out, and they know what to do for you. Many streets in Hendon, Golders Green, and Edger, I'm sure, also have unofficial Shabbos Goy, and we get a good deal. They don't get any stipend, they don't get a car that comes with a job either, but there are many non-Jews in Shtot that know lots of these halachas. So, because we use them a lot. So, very, very graciously. So the stipler, what did he do? He needed to have the light on. So he tells the goy, we'll call the goy Abdul. He said, Abdul, yes, great rabbi. He said, I've got a drink for you. Would you like a drink? What sort of drink? I've got a nice lachai, I've got a nice whiskey for you. Would you like a drink, Abdul? Oh, thank you, rabbi, very much. I'm very grateful. Come with me. So he brings him into his house, and the lights were off. And the stipler is busy looking around for this thing, so Abdul turns the lights on. So he pours out the lechayim for him, he pours out the drink for him. The whole reason he brought him in was that the goy should turn the light on. What is the goy turning the light on? The stipler can learn? No, sorry. He's doing it for the bromfen. He's doing it for his whiskey. That's why he's doing it. He's turning the light on for himself. So that's what the stipler did. Abdul finished off his whiskey. He says, thank you very much, Rabbi. He walks out and turns the light off. So he said, Abdul, yes, Rabbi, come. I've got some more. I've got some more whiskey for you. Go, you have another whiskey. So you really, Rabbi? Thank you very much. He comes in, he turns the light on. Maybe Abdul knew this, that's why he was doing this. So he comes in, he turns the light on. He's doing it for himself. Now, is the stipler allowed to say, Abdul, please don't turn the light off? Is the stipler allowed to do that? Yes. He's asking him to do nothing. So that's what the stipler did. He got Abdul to turn the light on for his own whiskey, for Abdul's own whiskey. Now the light was on. He said, Abdul, do me a favor, just don't turn the light off, please. Okay, Rabbi, no problem. And then the goy had his whiskey, the stipler had his Torah HaKadosha, and everybody was happy. Okay, so if the non-Jew is doing it for themselves, then that would be okay. Next one, point four. There's a penalty if this is violated. So if a person did ask a non-Jew to do something for them in a forbidden way, then you wouldn't actually be allowed to have any benefit from that until B'Kadeshiyah, so the time it took the non-Jew to do it. Let's give an example. Am I allowed to ask to take my car into a mechanic and on Erev Shabbos and say, please can you fix my car for me? So the halacha is, if I take it into them and I say, I'll be back on Sunday afternoon, or I'll be back on Sunday, and you brought it in early on Friday afternoon, Lamoshal, and you say, I'll be back on Saturday afternoon, I'll be back on Monday. If the goy wants to fix it on Shabbos, that's his business. He just prefers to do it on Shabbos. He doesn't want to waste his Sunday. So as long as you give him time that he could do it when it's not Shabbos, that's acceptable. It's acceptable to do that. He can fix it whenever he wants to. He's doing it for himself. If a person violated this, they brought it in just before Shabbos, and they pick it up straight away in Motzei Shabbos, and on Shabbos they ask the Rav, and they say, is that okay? And the Rav says, I'm sorry, it's not okay. You got him to do this malach of you on Shabbos. So then the knas, the penalty, is that let's say it takes 3 hours to fix that car, then on Motzei Shabbos he would not be allowed to use the car for 3 hours. That's the knas. There's a penalty if this, if Amir al-Akram has been violated. Next, point five. Point five is that the halacha is that I'm not even allowed to ask them before Shabbos to do a malacha for me on Shabbos. If I tell them I tell them before Shabbos, I say, if I nod, if I say, oh, it's cold in here, yeah, if I give you all the, you can have a whole list, you know, with a whole code. If you ask them before Shabbos to do all of these things, there's still a problem, because it still makes Shabbos light in your eyes, like the Shitta Sarambam, even though I'm not actually doing anything on Shabbos. So there are certain leniencies. You don't have time to go through all of them. But one is that we said that you're not allowed to hint in a command form, which is Amiro Baderech Tzivoy. You have to do things without actually mentioning a request. There is a leniency if you're asking them before Shabbos, you're allowed. You still have to hint, and still only not a positive direct benefit as we've discussed, but you can actually use Baderech Tzivoy. There is a certain leniency over there. You can actually run a command form. Fine. So far, we've been talking in general terms about Amira, asking them how to circumvent that, and Hano, getting benefit, and what sort of things are not considered benefit. Everybody clear so far? Excellent. Now let's move on to point six. Point six is another topic, and that is that asking a non-Jew to do something is an issa d'rabbanon, as we said. The rabbi said that we're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do something. However, under certain circumstances, they said that you can ask a non-Jew to do something which is forbidden mid-rabbanon. So you're doing something, you're asking them to do something for you which is a d'rabbanon, and the thing that you're asking them to do is also something which is forbidden rabbinically and not forbidden biblically. That's called shvus de shvus. Shvus means an issa d'rabbanon. So shvus de shvus means I'm asking them, which itself is osa d'rabbanon, to do something which itself is also osa d'rabbanon. Under certain circumstances, I can ask them to do something which is forbidden rabbinically. A, 6a, if there's significant financial loss, so then I can ask them to do something which is forbidden mid-rabbanon. So an example would be, if I've got a freezer which is full of meat, and somehow the plug got disconnected, a child pulled out the plug on Shabbos. Now, putting the plug in, electricity, there's a big discussion whether electricity is awesome in HaTorah, or whether it's awesome in Midrabonon. And there are poskim both ways. Now, normally we take on that electricity, using electricity, is forbidden in HaTorah. Biblically, I'm not allowed to use electricity on Shabbos. But there are poskim who say that it is forbidden only rabbinically and not biblically. So, the poskim allow In many cases, if there is a significant financial loss, you can rely on the fact that there are poskim who say that electricity is also midrabbanon, and you can ask a non-Jew to do something to reconnect something for you violating the issa of using electricity, because we're relying on the fact many poskim say that to the rabbanon. Asking a non-Jew is also the rabbanon. That's a shvus to shvus, but mokum tzeirach gadol in a case of significant financial loss. So you can ask them to do an issa d'rabbanon. So in a shvus to shvus, technically speaking, you actually could do it. You'd actually don't. That's the case where it's actually allowed. So technically speaking, you don't even need to hint. But there are places where we say wherever possible, it's better to use a remez if possibly you can in a case where they'll chap. Even in a case where you don't technically need to. So all of the following cases from 6 and 7 Chazal actually allow, so technically you could even ask them outright, but it's always better to use a hint if possible. 6b, if it's for a mitzvah, I'm allowed to ask them to do a derabonon. So an example of a mitzvah is if I say, can you please bring a machsa to shul for me? If we take on that most of the roads that we have nowadays are, it's also midrabbonon to carry in these roads, which the Mishnah Berurah says in many places, a machloikus also, if you take on it's a derabbonon to carry, and you're asking a non-Jew, which itself is derabbonon, to violate the malacha derabbonon of carrying through the streets, and you're doing that for a mitzvah, then that would be okay. So you're asking them to bring a machsa for you. Other examples of for a mitzvah includes even hachnosas arachim and oinig shabbos. So if you have vital necessities, certain vital necessities, like you've left chalas, you don't have chalas, you need them to bring it to you in a place where there's no eruv. So you've got hachnosas arachim, you've got oinig shabbos, you're asking them to bring these chalas for you. So then, because carrying we take on is a derabonon, and asking them is a derabonon, and it's l'tzorech mitzvah, for example, achnos arachim, or enik shabbos, then that would also be okay. There was a case, a friend of mine had a shalom zocha, and somehow the lights were all off. Probably his wife was staying away, and what does he know? So he forgot to put the lights on. Came Friday night, and it was pitch black. And there's going to be soon hundreds of people traipsing in, and they're all going to be coming in for some arbus, as one does. And all the lights were off. So is he allowed to do anything to get the lights on? So he actually asked one person who didn't know the halachas, and they told him, I'm sorry, you're not allowed to. So the whole Shalom Zocha was in the dark. And that's real emunah that he had. It's very, very impressive. But many poskim would say that it's actually allowed to, it's actually permitted. Why? Number one, well, was there any light coming from the street? If there was light coming from the street, then many poskim would make to hint to the non-Jew to put it on. Number two, even if there was no light from the street, even if it was pitch black, here, it's certainly L'tzorech Hachnas Arachim and Einik Shabbos, which is a mitzvah. So to get them to do a shvus to shvus, to get them to do, as we say, many poskim say, electricity is a derabonon. So certainly there would be room to be makel, even if there was no light coming on, coming in through the streets, any natural light. Certainly there would be room for leniency. Next, another case is if there is considerable pain, if there's tsa'ar, so then you're allowed to ask them to do a derabonon for you. An example, buying things on Shabbos, is that awesome in our Torah, or is that awesome in derabonon? It's also midrabbanon. Chazal said that because you might come to right, therefore you're not allowed to do any transactions. So let's say there's a person, they've sprained their ankle, and they need to get an ankle support, and they don't have an ankle support. So, are they allowed to get a non-Jew to buy an ankle support for them? So let's think about it. If buying is an issa derabbanon, and you're asking a non-Jew to do an issa derabbanon, and it's the sake of tsar, where a person is in considerable pain, so then one will be allowed to ask the non-Jew to buy an ankle support for them on Shabbos, because it's a case of shvus to shvus b'mokum tzar. Next case, kovat habrius, maintaining personal dignity, one is also allowed to ask a non-Jew to buy things for them on Shabbos if it's maintaining personal dignity. So a classic example would be if a person's, clothing completely tore and they're in the streets and they're all embarrassed, they'd be allowed to ask a non-Jew to carry through the streets for them some clothing. But place can even extend this if you've got people coming over and you forgot to buy drinks. You'd actually ask a non-Jew to buy drinks for you on Shabbos. Why? Because it's embarrassing if I've got all these people coming, even without Fachnos Arachim and Shabbos also, it might be okay, depending on how vital the drinks were. But even mitzad this, Kovad Abrius, you'd be embarrassed if everybody comes over and this thing isn't, you don't have this thing, then Issa Derabonon is permitted. Next one, we've got special leniencies where a person can ask a non-Jew to do even a malacha d'oraisa. And these are very, very good to know. And with these we'll close. One example is Bein HaShemoshes. Friday night, Bein HaShemoshes. We know that Shabbos comes in when it becomes Shabbos. But when does it become Shabbos? Does it become Shabbos at sunset? Or does it become Shabbos at Nacht? So because Bein HaShemoshes, this twilight zone between sunset and the stars coming out, is itself a debatable point. So we take on all the halachas of Shabbos for sure from just before, from before Shkia, from before sunset, from before Bein HaShemoshes. However, you are allowed, because it's Bein HaShemoshes and it does have this special, unique halachic status, Chazal did say you are allowed to ask a non-Jew to do malacha for you during Bein HaShemoshes, even a malacha d'oraisa, if it's something you need on Shabbos. So for example, you forgot to plug the hot plate in, and it is not yet, you know, it's still Bein HaShemoshes time, then you could ask a non-Jew to plug a hot plate in, even though it's a d'oraisa, even on the tzad, that it's a d'oraisa. Again, we could say electricity is d'oraisa or d'rabbanon, even if you say it's a d'oraisa, you'd still be allowed to, because it's for a Shabbos needs. If a person forgets to light candles, or they haven't lit candles in time, happens, I know somebody, they were struggling to get home in time for Shabbos, they made it with the skin of their teeth, but they didn't have a chance to light Shabbos candles. So what should you do? Since it's Bein HaShemoshes, you can actually ask a non-Jew to light the Shabbos candles for you, and it's considered as though you've lit Shabbos candles, even though that's certainly a melacha d'oraisa. But you don't make a bracha. You shouldn't make a bracha, because you're not actually doing the hadlaka, but you still are accredited to having had Shabbos candles.
Even after you've done Maariv.
Okay, so this is a big shaila. Pashtus, even after you've davened Maariv, because you could do Atoras Nadorim to take away the fact that you've accepted Shabbos upon yourself. Yeah. Next, another case we're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do a Doraisa, if it's Psik Resha. Now normally we don't do an act if it will lead to another forbidden act. So we can't open a car door on Shabbos, even if there's no, it's not, let's say, electric locking or something. It's not electric locking. But we can't open a car door. One of the main reasons is because the light will go on. So for us, opening a car door is osa because it's a psik resha that the light will go on. It's inevitable. However, you can ask a non-Jew to do a doraisa for you if that doraisa is a psik resha, if that's an inevitable thing. So if someone left something in their car which they need for Shabbos, they would actually be able to ask the non-Jew, can you please open the car for me? Open the car door and bring this in. Again, you're not asking them, please turn on the light. You're asking them just to open the car door. Next one. If it's a chayle she'ein bei sakono, the person is ill, even if it's not life-threatening, but they're ill. What is the definition of a chayla she'ein bo sakono? It means that they feel so under the weather, they have to lie down and go to bed, or their whole body is aching. That's called a chayla she'ein bo. They're not in any danger, but it is a real chayla. They feel really, really all in. Their whole body feels bad, or they feel they'd have to go to bed. So then, because they're a chayla she'ein bo sakono, one would be allowed to ask a non-Jew to do a doraisa. So an example of such a thing is if a person is in hospital, you can ask the non-Jew to heat up the hamolis meal, to heat up the meal. Why? Even if they're going to be doing a doraisa, even if they'd be doing a doraisa to turn on the oven or whatever it is, still you're allowed to do it because they're a chayla she'ein bo sakono. Of course, they're leaving out issues of bishul akum over here. If it's a hamolis meal, certainly it's already been cooked, and therefore there's no problem with bishul akum, and therefore you're okay. A shaila that happens, let's say the wife has just had a baby, she's a chayla she'ein bo sakono, but she just doesn't feel like eating. Can the husband eat the shirayim? Yeah, can the husband eat the leftovers? So this is something I saw B'Shem Rav Scheinberg. It's a long discussion exactly why, but he says you are allowed to, even though normally we don't like asking a non-Jew to heat food up for us on Shabbos, even if they're doing it for them. Maybe they're going to be adding in more. In the hospital, you don't know them. B'kitz, amaisa, it's okay for the person, says of Scheinberg, to eat the leftovers. Cold weather, a special leniency, a person could get ill. Everybody's considered a chayla concerning cold weather, so therefore you could ask them to do a doraisa for you. If it is cold, so if your heating is gone or it's become very, very cold and you need heat, and it's very, you know, you're it's freezing, you'd be allowed to ask them to turn on the boiler, to turn on the heating. Another case, if it's children that are, children are also considered like a chayle she'en bei sakana. So you'd be allowed, if there are children around, certainly up till 3, a bit of a machlokes, possibly even till 9, depending on the child, depending on the scenario. If there are children around, also you could get the non-Jew to do a malacha d'oraisa for you if they need to do this. Because Chazal said that if it's for the sake of children, children have a status of a chayle she'en bei sakana, so you're allowed to. And finally, another special leniency is a mitzvah d'orabim, a public type of mitzvah. So mitzvah d'rabim, you could even ask them to do a d'oraisa. So an example of a mitzvah d'rabim would be in shuls, one can often get caretakers to do certain things that you wouldn't be allowed to do at home. Let's say there's absolutely no light in the shul, absolutely no light, and you need to have light in the shul, that would be a case of mitzvah d'rabim, so that everybody could see. So many would say, Poskim would say that that's okay for a mitzvah d'rabim. Also, if the Erev is broken, and there'll be people who don't know about it, and will be carrying, so to prevent a kilkul of the rabim, it's also a special dispensation, a special leniency. One can even ask a non-Jew to do a d'oraisa, because the Erev is broken, it could be a kilkul for the rabim. This is really just an overview. I hope you don't mind, we've gone quite fast. But at least we've seen the main topics. I haven't spoken about a financial sort of setting of Amir al-Akam. That is not the topic in this year in terms of having workers working for you and builders and things like that. We haven't also spoken about Zilzal, Shabbos, and Maras Ayin. And there are other issues as well, but at least we've seen now what the Shailas are, what the issues are. Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yehi Ratzon, Kadosh Baruch Hu should help us, that we should always be Zeicha Laharbis Kveit Shamayim, to make a massive Kiddush Hashem. And when we ask non-Jews to come and help us, as I find myself doing, you know, unfortunately on quite a regular basis, different things that are going on at home in the Kehillah. When we ask the non-Jews, it should be, they should see Ashri Oviv Shlim Dei Teira, Ashri Rabbi Shlim Dei Teira. They should see what a special thing it is that we are part of the Amar Nivchar, and we should be Zeicha to the tremendous Simcha of Mashiach that came with Meher V'meina Omei.
Amen. We
can't get to finish the... Yeah.